Hey, just so y'all know, I love you. Holy Spirit's going to talk this morning. I just need you to know I love you, okay? I don't think any less of any one of you. And I'll be honest, I thought this was going to be a placeholder between the Lord's Supper and the fellowship lunch. And God has some other plans. I should have expected this because we have to talk about the Holy Spirit. And it's moving. So just know, I love you, okay? I just want to make sure everyone knows. No, but. I love you. All right. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we're here because we know that you're mighty to save. And we're here because we love you and we trust you, and our faith and hope are in you alone. And you are more valuable than all of the blessings that you have given us in our lives. You are more valuable than anything else that we have. It's all from you, Lord. But the gifts are not you. You are you. Father, this morning, as your Spirit speaks, I pray that we will hear. And I pray that we will not be satisfied to watch, but that we will participate. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, it was innocent enough. I figured this is just the next chapter that needs to be done. We have been actively pursuing the steps of Jesus Christ this year in our studies. And, of course, coming to Passover and coming to the death and the burial and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, we enter into a new chapter where we will not stop actively pursuing Christ, because just like we've taken from the Apostle Paul in Philippians, we are actively pursuing, not that we have reached the righteousness of Jesus. It is an ongoing thing. However, as we have followed in the disciples' steps of walking in the steps of Jesus while he is in the flesh, to now, as we saw in the beginning of the book of Acts, they've got to figure out how to walk with a resurrected Lord, a risen Jesus Christ. And to do so by the power and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. This is a very big deal. And it comes to us as a very big deal. Our Greek verb is going to change. Dioko, actively pursuing, that is still big picture, but we get a new verb today. And this verb, you probably thought you knew it. One of those Greek words that you knew you could pronounce or you thought was cute. But our word is koinonia. And this word is dangerous. Because this word is where we are going next, serving and following a risen Lord and Savior. This is the word that caused Peter to stand up and explain what was happening. This is the word that caused the disciples of Jesus to die for the gospel. This is the word that shook up everything. So I want you to at least write it down, because we are going to become probably more familiar with it than we are ready for or comfortable. Koinonia. This Greek word means participation. See, it's cute when it just means fellowship, right? Oh, that's nice. We koinonia each other. We're buddies. We're friends. You like me, I like you. And we say, hey, how you doing? And you bet I'll pray for that this week. It is participation. It is not spectatorship. It is not, well, I kind of know you and your life. It's not, well, okay, I'll be interested for a couple of hours on Sunday until I can get back to my stuff. Walking in the steps of the Holy Spirit of our risen Lord, it's a little more involved. Koinonia is where we get the word for fellowship, where we get the word for participation, where we get the word for partnership and taking part. Being a part of this. So, we read last week in Acts chapter 1 that the disciples are told to wait and be filled with power. To wait and be filled with power. But not for their own purposes, for the purpose of being witnesses to the world. Church, we have to learn how Jesus makes us participants with Him through His Spirit. Let's turn over to Acts chapter 2. We're going to read the last paragraph of the story. Because this is the aftermath. Last week was so exciting. We got to talk about the Holy Spirit showing up. And we got to talk about, what was it, 3,000 souls that were added to their number. And then we had a baptism and someone added to our number last week. And we got to stand around in a circle and, well, we thought it was Koinonia. Felt like Koinonia. And yet, starting in verse 42 of Acts chapter 2, I'd like us to hear what the Bible says about Koinonia. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the Koinonia, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. This is the response to the arrival of the Spirit. I would love if the response to the arrival of the Spirit was, oh, okay, everybody hears the good news about Jesus, and we want you to be saved too, and come and join us, and come and be baptized, and have a good week. I wish that was Koinonia. I've lived like that was Koinonia. That is not participation. Church, I'm going to be the first to say it because I'm right here. I'm not pointing fingers. I'm just reading what it says, and it indicts my heart because I see what the Holy Spirit does. And it's going to be hard to talk about walking in the steps, being filled with the Spirit of the resurrected Christ. It's going to be hard to read the stories and not go, oh, okay, yeah, that's that story. That was for those times. That's what it looked like then. And it's easy to keep it in the book. It is. But I mean, in our Bible study this morning, Tony had to open up to Daniel chapter 10. And I see, Daniel came face to face with Jesus. after fasting for 3 straight weeks. The Holy Spirit shows up at Pentecost after the disciples are all together in the room praying and focused together on God's purposes. And what's the result? God shows up. And it's so easy for you and I just to play a little church at the beginning of our week and make ourselves feel okay that God doesn't show up like that anymore. Not for us, He doesn't. And we can continue to come together and make ourselves feel okay for a couple of hours. But to be together every day, to have things in common, to worship and praise and pray together, and hope that God will move and act and bring souls to Him and allow us to be His partner in His eternal kingdom work. It's a great story, but I don't even know if we want it. Because I read what it looks like. You know what it looks like in Scripture. And it's pretty easy to see in the mirror what I look like. Not always easy to be honest with ourselves about what we look like. Doesn't look much like what's happening here. And again, I love you. This was not the sermon I had planned. I thought, oh, boy, you know, we're walking in the steps of Jesus, and now we're just going to figure out how to walk in the steps of the Spirit. And the Spirit said, all right, Michael, you want to pray for it? You dare pray for it? And then it shows up. And just like you, when you come face to face with our Lord, when you come face to face with His Spirit, you can't really walk away the same. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. When it's no longer just a story of someone else's experience of what they went through, and you actually have your own experience with the risen Lord, things just don't look the same, do they? They don't feel the same. They don't sound the same. They devoted themselves to the teaching and the koinonia. They devoted themselves to the active participation of a risen Lord. And He's no longer there. He did His part. And now it's put in their hands. And He trusts these guys. I mean, just weeks ago, they're running away from Him in fear, that they might actually be lumped in with Him. And now we see with the Spirit of Christ filling them that they are willing to take up the mantle and to participate in the gospel. And God invites us to participate in His gospel. He doesn't invite us to spectate. He doesn't invite us to watch and see what it's doing. He invites us to participate. Now, church, I love you, but we got a ways to go. We don't even take Wednesday nights seriously around here. And they were together every day. I want God to do great big things. But I see what God's people are doing when God shows up with those great big things. It's not us. It's not. I'm not mad at you. I love you. But I've always expected God and great big things. And what's harder is for you and I to be invited to that participation. Is God saying, yeah, I'm going to forgive you of your sins. I'm going to wipe it. I'm going to make it clean. I'm doing my part. And the Lord, the risen Lord, what's he doing now? He's preparing us a place, right? And we've just gotten into the habit of just being cheerleaders for Jesus. Instead of participating in his work in this world until he comes back. Turn over to Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. The Apostle Paul, and we saw his active pursuit in Philippians, and now we're going to see Koinonia in Philippians. Three places here. The first one is in chapter 1. Sorry. Philippians chapter 1, starting in verse 3. Philippians 1:3 says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always, in every prayer of mine, for you are making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. So, here in Philippians chapter 1, the first part, you'll remember, I mean, this is Paul pouring out his heart to this church. And they're having their own issues. They're focusing on their own problems and divisions and struggles. Paul's got his own problems, right? You remember where this letter was written? He's in jail. And he's saying, I love you. And I'm praying for you. Verse 5, there it is. Because of your partnership in the gospel. Partnership in the gospel. Our risen Lord and Savior has made us partners in the gospel. Not readers, not spectators, not audience, not fans. He has made us partners in the gospel. Church, we are partners in the message of Jesus. And it is causing growth in us as we are living and working toward the day of Christ. And it began at our death and baptism. And we did it, and we pray about it, and we sing about it, and we love it, and we celebrate it. But it is working towards something. It is working towards something. And we are supposed to be actively participating in the gospel. We've obeyed it. And that means that what God is doing in the world, what God is still doing in the world, he has said, all right, be my partner in this. Let's do this. So there's our Koinonia in chapter 1. He has made us partners in the gospel. And then in chapter 2, and I'll be honest, I know, I'm sure there's a couple in here, and Josh reads Philippians chapter 2, and I'm sure there's a couple going, Michael, why are we reading Philippians 2 again? I don't know why. It's haunting me. It's haunting me because the Apostle Paul can say in chapter 2, verse 1, if, it's the most difficult word in this chapter. If there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any comfort from love, if there is any koinonia, participation with the Spirit. He says, hey, if these things are in your life, then let's finish the job. If these things are in your life. And I think all of us can go, yeah, well, of course, I'm encouraged by Christ. Christ encourages me every day. That's not an if, that's a fact, right? And, yeah, I'm comforted by the love of God every single day. That's not an if. Michael, these are facts. These are not conditional statements. Well, if is a conditional word. If there is any koinonia in the Spirit. Oh, if there is any affection and sympathy. Bring it to completion. Bring it to completion. Be of the same mind. Be of the same mind. Be what's after mind. Same mind, same what? Love. Same mind, same love. Look, if God's love in Christ is really doing something in your life, if you are being comforted by Jesus right now, if you are actively participating in the life of the Holy Spirit, then bring it to completion. And what do we do with it all? Care about each other. Care about each other. In fact, he goes on and he says, hey, look. Well, what's the word he uses? Verse 4. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. And verse 3. Count others more significant than yourselves. And, you know, so often we fall into the trap of thinking that this is some form of self-abasement, that, you know, we're supposed to hate ourselves or that we have to, you know, feel awful or low. No. We just have to love, respect, and honor other people as well. We look out for ourselves. We take care of ourselves. We provide ourselves. He says, do that for each other. Do that for each other. Radical idea, right? You experience the love that God has in Jesus. You're comforted. You're encouraged. You're comforted. You're participating in the Spirit. Then finish the job. Finish the job. Living in unity in church. Now, church, here's a crazy thing, is that what we are is being made a part of God's eternal kingdom and giving the world around us a glimpse of what things are going to look like for eternity. Just think about that. Just think about that. Do we look like what the world wants to be a part of for eternity? Can they even see us to see what things are going to be like for all eternity? Can they see our love? Can they see our affection? Can they see our honoring of one another? Can they see our sacrifice for the good of each other? Do they see us participating in the Spirit? It's a great responsibility to be made participants of the Spirit. Go to chapter 3. Here's the third one. In chapter 3, Paul points out all the reasons that, according to the flesh, he has to boast. But in verse 7, he says, whatever gain I had, I count as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may koinonia, participate in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Church, this is an apostle of Christ calling a very comfortable church who is a little annoyed when we just have to go out of our way to look out for somebody, calling us to participate in his sacrificial death for the good of others. Greek is not the only foreign language being spoken in this paragraph. The idea sounds foreign, right? It does, because we're comfortable Christians. We're saved. We died, we were buried, and we were raised with Jesus. So bring on the chariot. I'm ready for my throne and my crown. Because, you know, I can't just cuss with everybody at work and I can't just think evil thoughts. I can get away with thinking evil thoughts because no one can really see that. But I'm just pretty good, and it's just pretty hard being pretty good and better than all the heathens that I'm surrounded by. So Jesus, just hurry up and get me out of here. And Paul says, you're called to something a little bit different. You're called to a participation with the Spirit of God that he saw fit to send down here to finish the work of Jesus. So I guess where we're going with this next chapter is we were actively following him and we saw the stories of Jesus, and okay, yeah, I notice what he's doing, and I see what he's saying, and I hear what he's saying, I see how he's treating other people, and okay, and now it's active participation. Because the grave couldn't hold him. Everything he said was true. He went back to be at the Father's side, and he said, I'm sending my Spirit. You will be filled with power to share the message. And again, I don't know if it's just a chicken and the egg conversation, because you and I just look at each other and we doubt the power. But we're not sharing the message. If the power from on high has given us to share the gospel and we're not sharing the gospel, why are we still pointing fingers at him that the power on high is not showing up? The truth of Scripture comes to us. It's pointing at us. He is trying to make us active participants with the Holy Spirit. Active participants. That means we have a part to play. That means we have a part to play. We won't be playing alone, because this is the Spirit of God that we're talking about. And God can play without us. But like I said at the beginning, I love you. I love you enough that when the Spirit speaks to me, I'm going to share. Because that day that we are all still working for, that day that we are all still looking for, I would be destroyed if any one of us got the message, no, you don't ring a bell. Sorry, I don't recognize you. That should be enough. That should be enough. So, look, I hope your lunch is delicious. I really do. But this next step, it might be difficult for us, for where we're at and where we're called to be. And I'm not trying to guilt you. I'm not trying to make us feel bad, but I am. Well, just know this. I'm not powerful enough to make anybody feel guilty. So if you're convicted, be grateful. I'm convicted this morning because I see what the Spirit of God does in His church. And I see what His church looks like being filled with the Spirit. I still want that. I still hope for that. And if we are going to accomplish what He has for us to accomplish, we're going to need that. The Holy Spirit is about more than just you and I just getting through our day. It was never about that. Because we have died with Christ. It's no longer us who's living our day. It is Christ who lives in us. So our days are His days. Our energy are His purposes. Our lives for His kingdom. It's a little more serious than maybe what we've been playing with. Church, the good news. The good news is that we know God personally through the Spirit. We know the privilege of experiencing the experiences of Jesus. We just can't have part of the experience. It's full immersion. It's full participation. It's full partnership. This isn't well, He's taking care of that so I don't have to. Or they'll take care of that so I don't need to worry about that. This is participation, full participation. God invites us into His life through the Spirit. He connects us to each other through the Spirit. And He makes us a part of His saving ministry through the Spirit. So I hope we take these steps together. Because they're not all going to be easy. But if our goals really are His goals, I believe we have to do it.